This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the wake-up call. Not that you would go anywhere, because that bluegrass show just gets you so comfortable, makes you want to sit in your seat. You dance so much, you get yourself tired, you got to sit down and relax for an hour. And that's what we are here for today. Get you relaxed, get you educated. Let's talk about cars, car repair, car ideas, and car suggestions with our good boys, Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre, tuning back in for another show. We've been trying to do this on a yearly basis. Rusty, are your legs tired?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? All that standing up and doing the bluegrass?
All that dancing, man.
Steve Bullock?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing all right. Thank you so much both for being here on what is a beautiful Sunday. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come in. Write down the phone number, boys and girls, 979-0919. If you need the toll-free number, it's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me thank Dixon Disposal for allowing us to be here today. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 434-978-2111. All right, again, we are going to be talking about cars, car repair, car experience, car suggestions with Rusty Simpre, Steve Bullock. We got over 50 years of car technician experience in the studio with us today.
Thanks, Rick.
Well,
thanks a lot.
It's from my understanding, it's 48 years of Steve. He's older than my great-grandpa. And then the 2 years for you that you've been working on the Hyundai that I purchased a couple years ago.
Yeah, don't make me seem that old.
Split it a little more evenly than that?
No, it's a lot more even than that.
Yeah. All right. So write down the number. Please call us up. Leslie's here today to take your calls, patch you through. Doesn't matter whether you're on Lexington's 95.3 or Richmond's 103.1, or even just here locally on the 91.9 for Charlottesville and Albemarle. I came in today, I put out there that we were going to be doing the show, and I see the phone ringing now, and because we sort of do the podcast, I had some friends send me their questions, so I've got some for a little later in the hour. But please, it's always more fun when people are calling up and with us live. Again, it's 979-0919 or 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Guys, you know, Rusty, you've been a car technician. Can you still say mechanic, or do you have to move along to technician now?
Whatever you prefer. I mean, I think they switched the whole technician theory because of all the electronics and computers and stuff. You know, it's not just unbolt a part and put another bolt on it, you know, part on anymore. It's a lot more involved than it's ever been, and it keeps getting worse every year.
Yeah, it's very true.
All right, we got our first call is from Ivan in Glen Allen. Hey, Ivan.
Yes, sir. I understand we're backyard technicians now.
Backyard technician. Question for these two guys, for Steve or Rusty, or tell us a bit about your experience as a car guy.
Yes, sir. 92 Subaru Legacy. Runs great. Has over 200,000 miles on it. After it gets warmed up, it won't go in reverse.
It won't go in reverse. Is it an automatic?
Yes, automatic.
What you've probably got going on that thing is there is there's a seal in that thing that is probably bad on the main shaft, and what it does, it's what it allows the pressure to go through to the valve body. With the amount of miles that's on that thing, I would tell you to probably put a used transmission in it, and I wouldn't worry about putting a used one in them. I've done it plenty of times before at one of the independents I worked at, and those transmissions are pretty much bulletproof, but it just sounds like it's a worn seal that's inside the transmission. If you can find somebody that's comfortable with rebuilding them, that's the problem. Is a lot of people don't like to touch those things. I wouldn't be afraid of having that done.
And nobody likes to work on Subarus.
No, they're kind of scared of them, and there's no reason to be. It's actually quite a simple car to work on. I worked on them for several years, and it's a very service-oriented car, and it's actually a very simple car to work on.
I think this one, last weekend, I put a new radiator in it, and I'll just drive it like it is until it...
It's hard to say how long that thing will go like that. I mean, eventually it'll probably stop dropping gears, but I couldn't tell you when or how long. I mean, but... like I say, those things right there, the biggest problem they had on those cars were oil leaks.
They had the vicious coupler thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was on the newer ones.
Some chattering, too.
Yeah, that was on the newer ones. You didn't really have that issue in those years.
Okay.
But things made from about, I guess it was about 95, 96 on, that's where they started having some issues with, like, the way the differential is set up on these things, you had to put limited slip fluid in these things, and that was to keep them from doing, like, a chatter when you put them into sharp turns and parking lot maneuvers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know they've all got their own, like, little clutches in each wheel.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the differential, the way it's set up. Because these things, they're actually pretty impressive when you see them when the all-wheel drive is working. A lot of people dog these cars, but they actually will go places a lot of cars won't.
Anyway, I was just wondering if it could be, like, some kind of heat sensor or something like that, because it worked when it was cold.
No, what it is that when that fluid's cold, it's thicker. So, and as it gets, you know, hotter, the fluid, the viscosity, it gets thinner and thinner. And what it does is that seal that's actually on that, on the input shaft there that feeds everything from the pump, what happens is the fluid starts to pass by that.
Losing pressure.
And it's an internal issue. Once it starts, I mean, when it's cold, like I say, the fluid is stone cold, it will probably do fine. And then the second you drop it, once it gets, say, you know, any operating temperature on the engine, it's probably when it drops out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an internal issue with the transmission. Like I say, I wouldn't be afraid to put a used one in it. I mean, you can usually find them for right decent prices, but you're just going to have to call around.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate you guys' input, and let me get off here and let you talk to somebody else.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ivan.
Have a good day.
I appreciate you calling in. Like I say all the time, somebody's got to be first on the dance floor. And I appreciate you getting us a call so early. 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you need to call us from somewhere out of the close area, you want to call us from another call from Glen Allen or over in Lexington, down in Lynchburg, use that toll-free number, 877-967-6762. We got Rusty Sempre and Steve Bullock here. Decades worth of car experience. You like that? Is that better than 50 plus years, which is the actual number? You know, I guess you guys heard that the Car Talk guys are going to retire soon. Does your car experience ever fade from life?
No.
Not really.
I've been doing it for 20 years, and the whole thing is with me is that I've been around to a bunch of different places and worked. I'm currently working for the state as a mechanic, and the whole thing is this, is that, you know, you never, ever stop trying to learn about what's going on with them. Because, I mean,
you don't have a choice. You have to learn something every day.
Exactly. I mean, you have to continue to evolve with what the vehicles are coming in. And, I mean, I've gone from working on small cars to now I'm working on big trucks, and it's, you know, you would think that the big trucks would be simpler, and they are not. They are just as complicated. They have just as much electronics on these newer trucks. I mean, it's truly unreal to see what you're seeing. I mean, you have to have it. It used to be a time just like what Rusty and I were talking about. You know, he was talking about being a technician. We are more a technician than we ever were anything else at this point, because your main tool is going to be a laptop or some sort of a PC. That's just what you're going to have to do to get the information from these vehicles to even attempt to fix them. I mean, it's gotten that far along. And if you can't change with it, you don't need to be in it because it's really gotten harsh.
Which is one of the reasons why we're doing this today and try and do this on a yearly basis, because not everybody has a PC to get the computer codes from their car. They can have you guys offer a suggestion as to what is wrong with it and what they should do to work on it themselves, or whether or not they want to take it to their local mechanic to have them do it. So dial us up with your question. You can also send me your question by message if you'd like. We have WNRN Studio on the AOL site. We'll send you an instant message if you prefer to do it that way. But I'm always a fan of the phone callers. Please do, just like Ivan did. Guys, one of the things that that I want to do is, now that Memorial Weekend is here, I know that a couple friends of mine with younger kids have family driving vacations coming up. And it seems like it's always, whether it's an advertisement on TV or talking with one of you guys, there's always something that people need to prepare about or think of before they take their trip. Suggestions on, you know, on that kind of thing? Tips for summer driving?
First suggestion is, why do people wait till the last minute to do it when the Absolutely. Dealership is slammed with work? It's like, well, state inspections and stuff. They wait till that last day. Just plan ahead, folks, please.
Yeah, I mean, it
makes
just
life easier, but
I mean, you know, give yourself at least 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks to get something fixed, because a lot of times when you go into any repair shop, whether it be a dealership or independent, if there's something wrong with it, a lot of times places are not keeping the inventories they once did. So it
as
may
far
take
as
a
parts
while.
Goes, yeah.
So you may not be able to get the parts you need right away.
And there goes your vacation.
So going on Wednesday for your Friday morning trip,
it's not a good idea. I mean, give yourself some room to breathe.
It happened several times just past Memorial Day weekend. We got a car in there. Yeah, do oil change, check everything over, going on a trip, and sure enough, find something majorly wrong with it, and the car just is stuck right there. So
yeah, I mean,
plan
just
ahead a little sooner is suggestion.
Yeah, just give yourselves don't give yourselves any heartache. You know, there's no reason for that. I mean, they can always find something if you give them enough time, but 72 hours or less, it's just not enough time to find anything. It
All
just
right,
isn't.
We'll come back to that. We got a call from Ricky in Brookdale. Hey, Ricky.
Hey.
Question for these guys.
Yeah, I have a 88 Nissan pickup truck. It's a four-cylinder.
All right.
And when I got it, I got it here recently. When I got it, it's a five-speed manual transmission. When you go through the gears, we've tuned it up and done numerous stuff to it now, trying to get it to run right. Anyway, when you go through the gears now, when the RPM gets up to a certain level in first, second, third, fourth, and fifth gear, it cuts out like it's stalling for gas and starts bucking. It just don't want to run. But, you know, until it gets to that certain RPM, it runs good.
Has that got 8 spark plugs in that thing?
Yeah.
All right, what you might do, you put a cap on it, I take it. You said you tuned it up. You did put a distributor cap on it, correct?
Yes, correct, yes. New distributor, everything.
New distributor, too?
Yeah.
You could have something going on with the ignition module in that thing. With that, that's one where I'd actually have to put that thing on an oscilloscope and look at what's going on. That's old enough to where I could do that, but what it sounds like is that either you're getting some sort of a variance, either you're getting, is that thing fuel, let me ask you, is that thing fuel injected or carbureted?
It's a single throttle body.
Okay.
Fuel injected. Like.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I want to make sure of, because they did still put carburetors on those things up until about the late 80s. What you could have going on is that for some reason the coil may even be dropping out in this thing. You did replace, was that replaced as well?
What was that?
Was the coil replaced as well?
Yeah, new coil.
Okay. That's all I want to be. I want to be sure before I start telling you anything. The only thing I can figure on this thing is that you've got something going on along with the ignition module, the signal that sends to tell everything to continue to fire. It's either that or you've got something else going on internal in the engine. But you would see more problems than you would see other issues. Like I say, without really getting into it and digging into it, I really can't tell you but so much, because it could have things dealing with the timing may be off a little bit. And it doesn't take much on that little motor. I mean, it can only be, I'm talking like literally less than a quarter of an inch worth of change in timing can make this happen as well. So what you may have to do is go through and check the base timing and base idle and make sure all that is correct.
Fuel pressure.
Absolutely.
Fuel quality, 88's old enough, you could have some rust in the gas tank or something, and could be like partial restriction in the fuel system to where when it'll start out fine, but then the more you push it, it just does not want to push that fuel through the system and could be like starving for gas too, would make it cut out. So.
Yeah, put new injector.
Oh.
Oh, it's got a, okay.
But.
Yeah, like I say, I'd go through and check, just check the basics on it. Go through again. I mean, make sure that base timing is not off. If it is off, you know, you might want to try and advance it just a touch. Not go too far on it because, I mean, it is electronically controlled. It can get a little funky. But that's about the only things I can come up with without actually working with the car myself. Like I say, it sounds like you've got an ignition issue dealing with either the module or the timing on it. You could quite possibly have an issue with, you know, well, if you replace the ejector now, I mean, pressure on those things wasn't but like 13 PSI.
Oh.
It's low. You did put a fuel filter on it as well.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you've pretty much covered all your bases.
Yeah, we put a lot of new stuff on it.
Yeah, you've pretty much covered every base on it. I mean, I just go through and just start checking the basics. I mean, sometimes it could be just something very, very simple that, you know, has just been missed.
Yeah, that sounds right. We've had several mechanics, you know, work on it all, and they would fool with it for, you know, a couple of weeks or so, and they say, well, they can't figure it out, so.
Then, I mean, that thing, I don't know. The only other thing, I mean, you know, the only other thing I could even think of that might cause a problem, like it would be a catalytic converter, might be rattling around and get caught sideways inside the converter housing, and that would stifle it. But the only way you're going to find that is you're going to have to put a thing called a back pressure gauge in where the O2 sensor is.
Or drop the front exhaust pipe down.
Exactly, and see what it does. That's about the only other thing I can think of. If they've gone through all the basics on it, I mean, that's where you're heading, is checking everything else on the outside.
Hello.
Well, I think Ricky was... You know,
thanks, Ricky.
Listening by radio as well, man. And that's a sign of, you know, whether you're the do-it-yourself folk like Ricky from Brookneal, who knows a lot about his car and calling it to take advantage of these guys, Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre, their experience. Dial us up yourself. You can do it. If you just don't have a question, you want to know whether it's something, do you want to spend the money to take it to your car technician or try and do it yourself? These guys will handle the simple or the difficult questions. 11:17 here on the wake-up call. Got another call online. But the toll-free number is available, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Hang on just a second. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be here today. Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. All right, let's see. We got Scott. Scott is from Charlottesville. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Questions for Rusty and Steve.
This is not about a specific problem of the car, but more a general approach, and I've sort of tried both over the years. We're going to need a new car sometime in the next year or two, so I've tried buying used, sort of high-quality cars like Volvos and Mercedes-Benz, and then I bought a new Honda Accord. This has been years ago. So in terms of sort of economy, would you, if you were doing it, buy a new car and maintain it for as long as you could, or find one with, you know, 70, 80,000 miles, a good quality car, and try to keep that running?
Well, I can tell you what I would do. I've bought two new cars in the last 4 years. I will never do it again. and it's not for any other reason other than what I got out of them after having used cars and buying, you know, decent used cars over the years. I don't really see any difference other than a car payment. As far as what you want out of a car, if it's something, you know, like you want something that, you know, you're not going to have to worry about for the first 3 to 5 years that you own it, absolutely, you've got to go new. For me, it really doesn't make any sense as a mechanic because I can fix just about everything on the car, you know, myself. I have, you know, like I said, that's the advantage to me. But as a regular consumer, you know, you've just got to weigh every option that's there. Because now the way the things are with these used cars is that they're costing almost as much as a new car. But you can get aftermarket warranties to go with them as well. But, you know, like I said, when you have a brand new car, I mean, I will say this, I thoroughly enjoy having it. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying that for what I've gotten out of it, it's just not been... It really doesn't change any experience for me.
But where do you draw the line on, let's talk about Scott and me, maybe, since I'm standing across from you. Where do you draw the line on personal experience as to, you know, Steve, you said the general consumer. Well, at what point, if I can change the oil, what's a task that I need to be able to do buy the used car versus going with the new car?
Well, let me just say it like this, is that I have the ability to look up the codes and find out what they are and diagnose them and fix them. And that's more along the lines of what you're running to on when you're working on these cars now. It's not like the old days where, you know, if you change that, you still have to maintain the car. Changing the oil, doing brakes yourself, that's fine. If you're comfortable doing that, absolutely do that yourself. But, I mean, keep in mind that now these cars, they're actually putting sensors on the brake pads. They're putting, you know, sensors all over the axles so that they can see everything that's going on there. You've got more wires around an axle than what you had once before, so you kind of have to be a little more inept when you're dealing with this. And you got oil life sensors that they have in these cars that they don't always tell you how to exactly cut them off so people can change their own oil. And next thing you know, their oil change reminder comes on. And then they end up taking it back to the dealer or service center that they deal with. And, you know, sometimes they tell you you have to take it to the dealer to get it cut off. I mean, some of them are that complicated. It's like I say, that's about where, you know, the line's drawn. But most places doing service work have the ability to do all of that. Like I said, new cars, if you've got something that you're putting somebody in that, you know, doesn't really know anything about what's going on maintaining the car, absolutely put them in a new car.
Yeah, new car.
Absolutely.
It's pretty much worry-free driving.
Absolutely.
Because you can leave, you know, dump the problems back on the dealer if you do have any. But you know, used cars, you got to be careful, too, though. You need to know where, you know, who had it, where it came from. Has it been properly maintained? There's a lot of worrying with the used car. More so now than ever with
and
cars coming in out of floods and been total lost and put back to near perfection condition, and it's hard to tell if they have been crashed. And it's a used car, a lot of worrying, you know, unless it, you know, is a quality car that was a local trade-in and you can find out all these things. But, if you want to be worry-free, new car is the way to go. But
all right, 11:22 with our guests today, Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre, doing our version of car questions, dial-up. What you need to know about your car, specific problems, or a general question like Scott just offered the guys. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy, light clouds over in Lynchburg. Highs today in the lower 90s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Right now, it's a beautiful day outside, 76 in the Valley, 79 in Lynchburg, 81 in Richmond, 82 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank The Backyard for their support to WNRN. UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard is open Monday through Saturday, and you're invited to their outdoor patio this summer. You can call ahead for takeout. That's 202-8215. You can also find The Backyard on Facebook. All right, our guests again, Rusty Simpre, Steve Bullock, decades worth of car experience. Dial us up, 979-0919. I currently got a listener on hold, but the toll-free number is open, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. And we have Michelle from Richmond. Hey, Michelle.
Good morning, Rick. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Doing
question
well.
For the guys.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, dear sweet mechanics that save us all the time.
Thank you.
In advance, I have an 09 Nissan Versa hatchback that I bought used from CarMax and took it across the street to the Nissan dealer for follow-up. And the warranty is going to run out on the 1st of July, and I want to know if there are any major things that I need to have them troubleshoot for me before that happens. I haven't had any trouble with the car. I absolutely love it. So that's question one. And minor question two, what do you think about, is it worthwhile to purchase a consumer plug-in diagnostic tool thing like you see advertised on TV that gives you the codes?
All right, I'm going to answer the first question for you. What I would tell you on that is that if you hear any noises, creaks, anything in the car, pick it apart. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, they're not going to openly tell you what is going to go wrong with it. I mean, they're just, that's not what they do at a dealership. I mean, they're going to fix whatever you complain about. And they're going to have the ability to fix whatever's there. But if you have anything on the car that you even think is an issue that, you know, is covered under the warranty, you know, just go through it and see what you can find, you know, if there's anything there. CarMax, I will tell you, is pretty thorough when they go through a car. They have their own school for doing things, and when they go through a car, I mean, they literally go through it. They prep it completely. It's pretty extensive, and it's, like I say, they are good at what they do. But, you know, cars in general, and I don't care who does it, you're always going to have one come through that's going to be some sort of a lemon some way or another. Your second question, as far as those little diagnostic tools go through, don't waste your money on it. You can go to Advance, AutoZone, any of those places, and they can scan it for you for free.
They won't clear them anymore,
They won't clear them anymore unless a repair is made. But if you want to find out what the code is without having to pay, you can go to the local auto parts places, and they will, 9 times out of 10, have the ability to scan it and tell you what the code is.
Great. Thank you so much.
Now, don't misunderstand. They're not going to be able to diagnose it. They'll just be able to tell you what the code is.
Just get the code, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
How about your temperature gauge? Is that working better this year? You had some issues with that last year.
I had run it. I lived in the car when the hurricane came through with the air conditioner running all the time.
Oh, wow.
And, so that was the only thing that had messed that up, but it's been fine since I took it in to get it fixed, checked over.
Very good.
Good memory.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank y'all.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. See, and that's how good our mechanics are. They remember when you called in last time. All right, so Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre, taking your calls about questions for car issues, potential problems. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free. Again, Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre here. Here's a question that came in. You can write us WNRN Studio from the AOL site. Let's see if I got this right. Jamie from Charlottesville. We just moved here from Wisconsin and love WNRN's Bluegrass Show.
Yay,
toss
thank
that
you.
In there. Just moved here from Wisconsin, but need to swap out our Toyota Sienna all-wheel drive. We know the winter weather can come and go, but we live in the pretty flat Charlottesville area.
Well, that van is actually a very good van. I mean, it's a Toyota product. I mean, Toyota is pretty good. I mean, if you got to keep with something space-wise, I mean, you're just going to have to see what you've got to have. But, you know, I understand why people get out of the all-wheel drives, because they do burn a little more gas. The problem is that when you're dealing with the vans and crossovers, SUVs, all that stuff like that, it's hard to find one that's fuel economical. They're out there, but they're usually hybrids, and with those, they come other expenses. like I said, swapping out, I mean, you're going to have to do your own research on that. I mean, if I was going to swap out of something like that, I would probably try to get into either an 07 or later Honda van and either a 05 or later Toyota van. I mean, as far as, you know, what you're looking for, if that's the type of size you're trying to stay with.
What year was his van?
What year did they say it was? One more time.
It doesn't say. It just says Toyota Sienna all-wheel drive.
If I remember right, I think the Sienna came out.
Jamie, send me a follow-up to that if you're.
I mean, one positive note: the Toyota, they hold their value better than any other vehicle out there. So you got a plus on your side right off the bat. You know, if that thing's in any kind of decent shape at all, it's going to hold its value pretty close to whatever Blue Book is. You're going to be right there. So that's a plus. But
I mean,
I don't know. We have bad winners and we have good winners. So it's just,
you never know what you're going to get. And I mean, and it's like I say, depending on where you live is, I mean, you know, where I live at, I'm out in the country. I have to have a four wheel drive vehicle because the roads aren't going to get plowed until everything else is done. So, I mean, when we had that blizzard back in 2009, 2010, it was a day and a half before we saw the first snowplow. And I mean, that's just what I have to deal with. But, you know, if you're living in Charlottesville, the city is pretty good about keeping the roads clean. I mean, they are pretty proactive when they go out there and they put down all the chemicals and everything before it even snows, and it doesn't snow and it's on the ground.
You know, it struck me when I was reading Jamie's thing. It talks about all-wheel drive, you know, but gosh, it costs more to tow your all-wheel drive, as the Hook reported. Couple weeks ago when they did their articles on the Hook, because you got to get off, you can't just tow it front end or back end up. You have to put the whole thing up on the flatbed.
Yeah, that's right. The way these all-wheel drives are designed.
If you're gonna park well, Jamie, wherever if you're still driving that thing, make sure to park only in appropriate areas.
Absolutely. Yeah, the way they've got those vans set up is that, you know, the all-wheel drive is essentially what it says it is. All wheels will put power to the ground at one point or another. And with the way these transmissions are set up, with all the different types of couplings and everything that are in there, if they try to tow one from one axle to the other, it will destroy that coupling system. It's not made to be towed that way. They don't like it, and they stop working after it happens. And like I say, the tow companies will do everything they can to say not their responsibility.
We had a guy towed a rodeo all the way from Richmond.
Oh, wow.
That's not good.
We got the engine running. You put it in gear, it wouldn't go anywhere.
All right, 11:32 on the wake-up call. Let's get some calls in. I always prefer the voices on the phone. We've had Ivan and Ricky and Scott and Michelle. We'd love to hear you. 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you need the toll-free line, it's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Our guest, Rusty Simpre from Jim Price Hyundai, and Steve Bullock, working 20 years fixing cars for a variety of different dealers, and now with the state. So call us up. You guys were talking about summer driving. I have a nephew, just got his license a few months ago, and my sister's concerned because now he seems like he'll be driving a lot more than he would when he had school as a big part of his system. Suggestions on things to do for your cars if your teenage kids are going to be driving them more?
Rusty, that's all you. You got more kids driving
than me. Haven't I seen your nephews and nieces up at the market before? And they are not old enough to drive now.
Well, you and I have known each other for a long time, and I'm talking about my oldest nephew, not the one who's been coming in here helping me on a fundraiser.
Not that one. I'm talking about other ones that were up at the market before eating lunch and stuff. You've had your sister and her kids up there.
My oldest nephew is turned 16 in February, and I guess now you have to wait a few months past 16 to get your official license, but... You know, my sister was saying when I told her we were going to be doing the show, she said, "Oh my God, please ask those guys things they need to watch out for my son to be driving around this summer."
Well, since this is a member of your family, I'm sure they're going to be pretty responsible people.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to some of the hooligans out there.
Keep thinking that.
So, I mean, I never met the child, but.
But are there things?
What are the things you can do? You can get the GPS working on their phone and keep them on track. All that stuff's online now where you can track that vehicle on your laptop.
Are there problems that you see mechanical problems that kids are more likely to create than adults?
Well, the biggest problem you see is that they don't check anything.
Yeah,
they're never shown how to check anything on the car.
They don't know what a flat tire feels like. They just keep driving.
Right. When I was going through driver's ed, they went through all that. I mean,
teach them how to change a tire.
Yeah, teach them to check the oil, check the coolant, check everything.
Do a walk around of the car before you even get in it.
Yeah, you should do that anyway. I mean, even people that have been driving for how long, you're supposed to do that just to verify that you don't have a flat tire.
Even a low tire.
Right.
You know,
because all those things can change how it drives.
Wiper blades, they rip and shreds, you know, if they're not checked regularly and just...
Spilling drinks on the center consoles, that's not a good idea.
That's not good either. Shorts out the airbag modules.
Yeah, there's all sorts of little things that just got to be a little more, they need to be shown more than anything else. It's not much that you're just going to have to get in them and just basically just teach them common sense.
What does the judge tell you when you get your license? That driving is a privilege?
It's a privilege, yes. not a right.
Not a right,
and
it's a privilege.
They were very clear on that for over an hour and a half.
Respect that automobile.
11:35 on the wake-up call. Somebody just tried to call in. I apologize greatly for missing that on the toll-free line. Please ring us back up with your question for Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre. 877-WNRN-ROCKS. The local folks, 979-0919. Let me take the time to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear, Blue Ridge has gifts for dad, including watches, knives, binoculars, and sunglasses, as well as an array of hiking and camping accessories. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville, and they have two locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. All right, I see the phone there. Don't forget, folks, Rusty Simpre at one of the local underwriters, Jim Price Hyundai. So if you have a Hyundai, here's the man. Take advantage of that. And Steve Bullock, who's hit a variety of independent dealers as well with a great number. And so Ivan is ringing us back. All right, Ivan, what you got?
Well, you were talking about the towing of the four-wheel drive vehicles, and I had a newer Subaru at one time, and you could pull a fuse out underneath the hood when you had to tow it. And I was wondering if the 92 was the same.
I'm not sure.
Should be in the owner's manual.
If it's there, it's in the owner's manual. In the later models, that's correct. You could pull it. I think it's a fuse you actually install, if I remember right. What that would do is that would deactivate the all-wheel drive unit for the rear. It would just allow the rear wheels to freewheel. Some people actually used to do those things in the summertime to actually get fuel economy. I've heard of people doing it. I don't know what it would do to the car or not. I wouldn't tell anybody to do that. But I have seen that done before.
But I just wondered if a lot of other all-wheel drive cars had that.
Yeah, a lot of them do. I mean, I guess the worst one I ever saw in my experience with, as far as not being towed properly, were the Volvos with the all-wheel drive units, like the Cross Countries and stuff like that. That would absolutely burn up the rear viscous coupling on those things. And it's pretty costly. The unit itself, I think, is between $800 and $1,000 for the unit itself, and it's just a very costly mistake.
No, I wouldn't want to do that, and then I will consult the manual.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's see. Again, 979-0919 is now open for Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock. And we got Ron from Lynchburg. Hey, Ron.
Howdy.
Question for the guys.
Yes, sir. 87 Volkswagen Vanagon.
Oh, wow.
0.1 liter. Four-cylinder off-stock. I got a lifter that occasionally leaks down. You can drive the vehicle, and then you park it, and then you go out there and start it up, and it sounds, of course, like the motor's about to come out of the back of it. It takes forever to pump back up. Question is there any particular oil that might be better or any additives that I could add to the oil that might ameliorate the problem a little bit?
You can try. I mean, the cheapest thing you could try would be putting about a pint of transmission fluid in it on a full oil change.
Dextron.
Yeah, Dextron 3 or, you know, Dextron 4 like that. But honestly, if it is making noise, if it sits or anything like that, the lifter is weak. It's not going to come back.
If there's trash in it, it will do the same symptom. But, yeah, if it gets weak, there's no way.
There's really nothing you can do short of replacing it.
But the transmission fluid will clean the trash out of it.
But don't use any more than that on
about
that.
About half a quart.
Yeah, about a pint.
So
no
one
more.
Pint. For a full oil change.
For a full oil change. It's like, one, you know, just replace about, you know, whatever you do in an oil change. I think that motor was 4 quarts, so you just do 3.5 quarts of oil and a half a quart of transmission fluid. Don't do any more than that.
All right. I'll be glad. It's aggravating because it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, and that's just, it. You know, it all depends on probably how long it sits or how the camshaft ends up in the position on the lifter.
Right.
It just depends on, there's about probably 5 to 6 different variables that will make it do it and not do it.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. 11:40 on the wake-up call. I got another caller. Hang on just a second.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Market for Tiger Fuels and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, it's been 3 years since the construction was halted. Charlottesville's planned Landmark Hotel may soon get back underway, but the city may get the promised luxury accommodations anyway. 3 other hotel chains poised to claim downtown real estate. At his walk-in practice on Pantops, Dr. Gaines Talbot has treated more than 51,000 patients in the past 13 years, but problems with insurance processing are making his job harder. And check out the soggy memorabilia retrieved from the time capsule at Charlottesville's birthday party. The Hook for groups of all ages. All right, let's see. The toll-free number's open. That's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Back with Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre. And back with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey. I had a. I guess I wanted to rephrase the question a little bit. So It would not be our only car. We live in town. We often walk to work. So if I said, I want to put 120,000 miles on a car, and I have easy access to a good mechanic, would you get a new car, or would you buy a used car and keep putting money into it? Does that make sense?
It all depends. If you're looking to do something like that, that's going to be more or less your call on that. If it were me, I would probably look at something with, you know, an Asian import, preferably Honda or Toyota, from about either the Civic family to, you know, Accord or the Corolla or Camry. I would look at those cars right there with, you know, anything under 60,000 miles. These cars are pretty much the mainstays of those companies. And that I would not be afraid of as a used vehicle. And you can find those pretty easily around. They've been program cars and stuff like that. That would be the route I went if I was going to do something like that. I mean, but if you were looking for something that is, you know, if you said 120,000 miles a year.
No, he wants to put 120,000 on it.
Wants to put 120,000.
Okay,
on it.
I just want to be. The only people I've ever known to do that are insurance adjusters, and I mean, they'll put 300,000 miles on a car in 2 years.
Yeah, but he walks to work a lot.
Oh yeah, then I would definitely go used. I mean, that would be my opinion on that, is because you're not doing yourself any favor by putting money into a new car. I mean, you're going to be making a monthly payment that's going to be, you know, the same as it would be for something else. Your taxes are going to be higher, you know, and you'll run out of warranty before you probably ever put any kind of miles on the car to see any need for it. So I would go with something used, and, you know, and like I said, but from the manufacturers I suggested, if you look at any of the other manufacturers, just read all the reviews that are there. And then you're just going to have to go out and out, and whatever you do, just drive everything. Just find what you're comfortable with, because, I mean, you're the one that's ultimately going to drive this thing. You got to find what works for you as far as fuel economy, comfort, you know, all the different stuff inside of it. Just go out and make sure.
And Scott, I loved my Hyundai Sonata, and the technicians aren't so bad either up at Jim Price.
That's true.
Thank
Hyundai,
you.
What's Kia? They even make good cars. I mean, now
Hyundai owns Kia.
Yeah,
so
and they have
a lot of the same vehicles.
They've really turned that car around because I worked on them when they were still Kia. And
now it's all nice.
Yes, it is a all much right. nicer vehicle.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, thank you.
And let's see, the 979-0919 is open, but on the toll-free, we got Mike from Waynesboro. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks for hanging on. Question for Rusty and Steve.
Yeah, I've got a 1989 Buick Century. Got 120,000 miles on it or so. I headed into the shop a while ago because the check engine light kept coming on. It would come on when the car warms up. Once in a while, it'll go off. For the most part, it comes on and stays on. I've had the mass airflow sensor, I guess it is, changed, and the that other one that goes to the exhaust.
O2 sensor?
So
oxygen sensor.
Do you have any idea what could be making that light come on?
Do you know what the code is? What number the code is?
Once it started coming on.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you heard him. Do you know what the code is?
What trouble code number is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
All
right.
In fact, when I had it in the shop, they said that, you know, the year that it is, they had a hard time reading the codes off of it because it wasn't coming on at the time that they were doing it.
All right. Well, what they've probably got is that...
Was that the year they had the speed density change on the mass
yes,
airflow?
Yes, it
you
does.
Unplug the relay.
And yeah, you have to do all that, but even then, that's no guarantee.
Right.
You could have a couple things going on here, and without knowing what the code is, it's probably, I'm guessing now, it's probably going to be a code 3233, which was an EGR valve.
EGR.
These things would do it's not running all messed up, is it?
No, like I said, the mileage has just gone down.
It's going probably. Down, okay.
EGR, I believe, was changed on it,
okay.
too.
They also have a thing on there, it's a map sensor on that thing. But the other thing is, too, is that depending on what the code is, you may even have a bad mass airflow on it as well. And even though it's on there and it's been replaced, it may be bad. Without seeing the data of what's going on, I mean, it's one of those things that you're going to have to find somebody with an old-school scanner and get on that thing, and they're just going to have to look at what's going on and know what the data is supposed to be.
All right. Somebody suggested it might be a clogged catalytic combustion.
That is a
converter.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
That's a very good possibility on those cars. You know, it's getting. You know, it is an older car now, and these catalytic converters were not meant to last as long as they're being driven. I mean, usually the average life of a catalytic converter is between 5 to 7 years. Sometimes you get more out of them. It just depends on, you know, how they're taken care of. And I mean, it could very well be because it does. It seem like it's losing power as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
You probably, if you're getting the codes where they put an O2 sensor on it and a mass airflow sensor on it.
It generally runs fine.
Yeah, it'll run fine, idling, no big deal.
It seems to idle faster when the check engine light comes on.
All right, what's happening is that when that code comes on, it's changing the parameters that the car runs on. When that thing comes on, what needs to happen is that if you can find somebody with an old-school scanner, and it's going to have to be either... one of the older, you know, Snap-on red bricks, or you're going to have to find a dealer that's actually got a Tech One that still works. You know, and they're going to have to scan it and see what's going on at the point. Don't cut the car off because once the code is in there, it's active. If you cut the car off, it may clear the code. It doesn't always, but it might. It depends on whether it's what they call a hard code or a soft code. Soft codes will clear out every time you cut the ignition off. Okay?
Check into that. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. We are doing some car questions here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre, 1148. Call us up. Both phone lines are open, 979-0919. 877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free number if you're listening in the Outlands. Let me thank L. Oppelman for their support L. Oppelman's Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. You can find L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, online. It's loppelman.com. I see the local line ringing, the toll-free line open. I got an instant message question. Rusty, this one seems to be for you. It says, from Derek, doesn't say where, yesterday my 97 Hyundai Elantra wouldn't start. Started fine on Friday and just stopped on Saturday. I think the battery is good, the starter is good. What else could it be? When you turn the key over, it does nothing. Not even a sound, but the wiper, radio, and everything else works.
Interesting. Biggest issue I see with Hyundai is if the battery has ever been replaced, people do not properly install the battery cables. For some reason, the posts where the cable goes down on top of it is shorter than the one that comes out of it. You have to actually spread that cable open, positive and negative, take a bolt all the way loose, spread it open, get it down as far as you can get it to get that cable to stay tight. And some of them actually had a fusible link block made onto the positive battery cable as well that fed the starter and other issues, and those things used to get so hot they would melt. So pay real close attention to your battery cables and whatever comes off that cable. And if all that is good, if it's a manual transmission, you may have a clutch switch that's not working properly. That has, you know, where you push the pedal all the way down. That has to operate as well. I do believe the car has a starter relay on it as well, which will be in the box beside the battery. You can pull those out. If it's, you pull another one out beside it, if it's got the same exact part number, you can just do a swap on the relays and see if that happens, if that helps. Not a lot of ignition switch trouble with those cars. Mainly battery cables, the fuse links. If all that's good, get somebody to try to start it and take a hammer or something and smack the starter. It'll probably spin because start with the battery, go to the starter. Most common problems.
And Derek, now you see why my preference is people to call up, because you can have the follow-up question. Did you do that? Have you tried that?
Yeah.
So don't be shy, folks. 979-0919-877-WNRN-ROCKS. 1151.
But those cables have to be tight. You grab the big cable part. If you can twist it back and forth on that battery post, it's loose. You got to grab it. Make sure you cannot move it.
Weren't those the ones that also were corroding out
all
together?
Oh, yeah. They never get them tight, and then it builds corrosion.
Okay.
Every time it sparks, it builds corrosion, and then it ends up eating the cable in half. I just put one on one last week. The cable, so much corrosion, it actually cracked the cable in half, and the car was stalling and all kinds of weird symptoms going on. You got to have voltage. Very crucial.
All right, Rusty Simpre from Jim Price Hyundai, Steve Bullock, 20 years worth of work and some local independents, and now with the state. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because when we finish up in 8 minutes, Les Temps Perdue will start up Best of 80s and 90s Alternative. Drew Thompson plays the roots of alternative music, because you can't understand where we are now without first knowing where we've been. Enjoy the times gone by with Les Temps Perdue, only on WNRN. Rusty, I think somewhere in the last minute or two, something prompted this question about hot temperatures and then summertime coming up. And we've talked about taking care of your cars on a regular basis and being taught. We were talking about teaching the newer drivers how to do this. They're, you know, other than putting water in the car and coolant in the car, are there things you have to worry about in the summertime?
Most definitely. A lot of the stuff that gets neglected is, you know, your actual radiator. See a lot of those. The fins get a whole lot of dirt in them. If you see these headlights going down the road that are all faded and stuff, that comes from just road dirt driving them down the road. That same dirt gets in your radiator, so you know, every time you wash your car, if you wash your own car, you know, pop the hood and take it, your hose nozzle, and blast it back through all the fins of the radiator, blasting towards the headlights and try to keep that cool. That helps the cooling system, you know, a lot. It makes it more efficient. You definitely need to check your belts and hoses, all your fluids, tire pressures. The same thing that, you know, even in cold weather, these things need to be checked. But a little more crucial in the summertime because the temperatures are exceeding, you know, their normal operating range. Pay attention if you have, like, a front-wheel drive car. They have electric cooling fans in the front. You know, just pay attention to your gauges. Make sure they're staying in the normal range. Make sure you can hear that fan cut on when you're sitting in Charlottesville traffic and that it's working, you know, properly. And check your lights, please. You know how many cars I get behind in a week that's got a bunch of brake lights out, headlights out, and people don't even know it. Check your lights.
Yeah, save yourself a ticket.
Save yourself a ticket and or an accident. If you, I just...
Here's a personal
two or three
question.
A week, it don't even have brake lights coming.
Question about my personal
they don't know,
car.
So.
And I love my new Hyundai Elantra.
I love your
Elantra.
Hyundai Elantra, too. They're great cars.
But it's
cars.
Got tree sap on it. I live in the woods. There's no place to park where it doesn't get tree sap on it. Is
buy a cover way? For it.
Well, that ain't happening now. Even if I buy it, that's not getting the current tree sap off of it. Is there a secret to doing that? I see the phone line ringing. Hang on just a sec. Leslie will get you. Is there some incredible way?
I don't know if you still can get it, but what was that? That road tar and sap remover?
Man, they make bug and tar remover.
That's a lot of elbow grease.
Lot
and
of
you
work,
just you got to keep changing the rag. You got to keep a clean spot every time because if you're using it in the
it
same
just
spot,
gums up,
it
yeah.
just gums up. You just got to keep rotating the rag over, and you're looking at several hours worth of work.
That's the worst stuff to ever get off a car.
Anybody needs a little cash? Let me know. You need to be detail oriented. Let me see your resume. Detail oriented.
Yeah, the tree sap is the worst. It gets into wipers and everything.
Just devastate a car.
It is. It's awful.
All right, Tori, we dial us back. I see where we got where Tori from Waynesboro called. Dial me right back. I'll answer it in here. Seems to be a problem with the second production studio phone. Sorry about that. But dialing back real quick, Tori, and we'll get your call in. 11:55 here on the Wake Up Call. Just a few minutes left with Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Here's a question that came in. I need to buy a car for my two high school kids to share. I'm obviously worried about safety, but also need to watch out for mileage and would like it to be cool. Although cool comes behind safety and MPGs.
Just remember, cool costs more.
My guess is,
always
without,
has,
without
always
saying
will.
That, who sent me that? Nathan from Charlottesville sent that. My guess is that Nathan puts that third so that he can tell his kids, well, I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I asked for a cool car too. Dad said no.
But is it, do you have suggestions for a car that, or you talk about safety and mileage together?
Safety is going to come in, you know, there's a bunch of different manufacturers that they have very, very safe cars. If you're looking for something that's going to be as safe as it can be, I will tell you this, a Volvo is probably it. That is probably one of the most indestructible cars I've ever seen.
But didn't we start right at the beginning of the hour about the difficulty in repairing a Volvo?
Well, it's not so much difficulty as is that you have to be conscious of maintaining the car. And if you maintain that particular vehicle, that car will take care of you, but it will cost you in the long run.
But you pay for your kids'
you're
safety,
paying,
right?
I mean, like I said, I have seen one of those cars rear-ended at 60 miles an hour, and you could still open the doors on it. That's not something you can see usually, and the people that were in it walked away.
All right. Well, let's finish that answer.
So, does Volvo make anything cool?
Well, cool is relative. I mean, those cars...
We can put a set of wheels or something on it.
Yeah,
bring it up a little bit.
All right, let's take this call from Tori, who we messed up. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Hey, Tori.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Question for Rusty and Steve.
I used to cross Afton Mountain in a 71 Skylark every day on my way to work, and never had any issues on it. I use Route 250, so it's a little different road. And at the bottom of the mountain, there was never any issues with the brakes or anything. I didn't gear down, but I got a 2006 Impala, and if I go down that mountain in that thing and don't gear down, it's just totally heated up and vibrating and everything like that. And I had the rotors turned on that thing about three times in the first 6,000 miles, and it will still do it. I had them done while they were under warranty, and the dealership finally told me, well, people will do that just because you're complaining. And I said, y'all the ones that did it, so are you saying it didn't really need it? And they wouldn't answer me, but is there an issue with that? Or
well, this is the whole thing. If they're not
capable of going down a mountain without heating up the brakes or what? They got them so tight right now, they'll put you through the windshield when you hit your brakes.
All right, Steve, what you got for tools?
What I was going to tell you is depending on what's going on with the brakes, machining the rotors, I don't recommend doing that anymore.
Especially a Chevrolet, because they come out of the box paper thin.
And not only that, the metals in them, it's not the same metal that you dealt with in 1971. Okay, that's a whole different beast right there. And the other thing is, too, is if the brake pads will never change when this happens, if you're getting the brakes that hot to where the rotors are blued, warped, or anything like that, those pads are going through a chemical change. It's called crystallization. When that happens, the pad is actually becoming harder than the rotor, and it's like having two pieces of metal pushed together. It's not going to stop as well. It's not going to do a lot of things as well.
Other than generate heat.
Exactly. And heat is what will make these things fail. It takes away all the braking ability of the stuff. Like I said, I have a 2011 Impala, and the thing is that I've never had any issues with it, but I'm not driving that mountain every day. That's a whole different beast.
All right, Steve, we got to finish up.
Like I say, there's other things you can do. If the brake pads aren't being done, what I would do is I would recommend switching over to ceramics and possibly going over to what they call a drilled rotor to keep the heat down. That's about the only thing I could suggest. I mean, that's dealing with a little bit of performance stuff. But that's about the only thing I could suggest to do on that car.
All right. Tori, thanks so much, man. Sorry that production studio phone hung you up earlier. We could have gotten your call 30 seconds earlier. All right. Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre, thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rick.
Next year we'll do this again, and you'll have two more years experience between the two of you.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.